This is the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
Number one pick in the NHL draft, but the men that can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make them need to run.
That's
I'm every trash, CMT for short. Wonder if we best once you peep the score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise to shine with 98.7. This is drop time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
Buongiorno, my buddies.
Yes, buongiorno, Sal. Wakey, wakey, eggs and bakey.
And welcome aboard.
I'm Rick DiPietro. Philip Seymour Hoffman has to play Buck. Has to play Buck.
You do realize Philip Seymour Hoffman is dead, right?
Yeah, that's not my finest work. My co-host, Dave Rothenberg.
I had something to say, and I have no recollection of what that was. So let's turn into the Mets for a minute.
What a professional. I work with our amazing producers, the Little Don.
I hope your dogs poop on your bed.
Wow, that's RJ Santillo. How about our warrior, Raymond Santiago?
RJ and Rick. RJ and who was the other guy? Ray.
And you wonder why he doesn't like you, Dave. And of course, as always with us, we got the company. Thank you for getting up with us this Thursday morning. We are DNR, the R&R Boys.
I'm Fred Astaire, baby!
Call us what you want, but don't ever call us lazy. You can hear us every weekday morning, 5 a.m. to 8 a.m. right here on 98.7 ESPN New York. Number to call, as always, 1-800-919-3776.
Calls.
Lots of calls. We have an awesome show planned for you today.
We'll see naked ladies.
Not really what I had in mind. The Mets gave up 7 in the 6th inning and lose 9-2 to the Braves yesterday afternoon. Adam Ottavino pitching 3 straight days.
Not the best.
It's not the best. Kikuchi.
Come here, my little cookie.
No, it's not. Not cookie, Dave.
I have a big one.
I'm not sure how that's relevant. Anyways, Kikuchi and the Toronto Blue Jays put an end to the Yankees' 11-game winning streak. Aaron Boone got himself tossed, arguing the strike zone. Let's take a listen to what he had to say to home plate ump Marty Foster.
Shut up! Shut up!
Say, I asked a bad question. I'm going to step on your face right now.
Step right on your face. No wonder why you got ejected. The Rangers with a pivotal, dare I say, must-win game 2 tonight against the Penguins. Sounds like Louis Domingue will get the start net for the Penguins. I wonder what he had for dinner last night.
Some spicy pork and broccoli. Not the best.
That still doesn't make any sense to me. We'll hear from the New York Giants GM.
Joe Schoening.
Good try, Peter. That's your guy on Afternoon Drive. That's Joe Shane, actually. And he was on the K-Show yesterday. And as always, on Thursday at 6:45, we have an observation. Didn't it happen in Florida? But before we get to any of that, I'd like to say good morning to a man that's not afraid to call it like he sees it.
Gordon Damer's a weaselly little turd.
A little turd. That's our honesty broker, David Rothenberg.
Wow. Wow. That's a lot to unpack. I mean, what time did you start this thing?
That's a nice open.
But here, I was on a little earlier today because I woke up a little earlier today. And the second I dialed in to Santiago and I said, Ray, good morning. He goes, we're doing the open. Like, when do you guys start this thing?
This was an early one. Santiago forgot it was Thursday. That's where he's at. I mean, got these hockey players, the 3 overtimes set him back a day.
Oh, Raymond.
I think I slept for 12 consecutive hours yesterday.
Congratulations. That's big news, buddy, for you.
It's
huge news.
Tells you how tired I was.
Wow, that's like record-breaking.
That's like four days of sleep for you. It's nice.
Banking the hours.
Congratulations. See, banking sleep. What am I telling you? You got to bank the sleep.
You can't bank sleep.
Yes, you can bank sleep.
You can't bank sleep.
You know what? I'm willing to try at this point.
And I think you should. You deserve it.
Yeah,
I mean, 3 overtime.
I'm not saying you don't deserve
a
12-hour sleep. I'm just saying if you don't sleep tonight, getting 12 hours yesterday is going to do you absolutely no good.
Well, let's hope to avoid a 3 overtime game tonight, huh?
Oh, please.
Let's hope is right.
I can't.
So I guess not cramps, huh?
No.
If Louis Domingue is going to get the start tonight.
No, it sounds like he's got a lower body injury. Well, I mean, which can listen. I mean, when you play that, you know, a game like that, and all of a sudden now we're in the second overtime. And let's not forget, too, like how big that moment is, right? I mean, it's game one, first round of the playoffs. So, I mean, all that extra excitement, it does cause, you know, some extra I mean, the anxiety does cause you to, listen, this is just my own personal experience. Like in games like that, I found like, you know, I would really have to focus on hydrating and everything else, because I would get so fired up that I would just like sweat to a whole different degree. But when you start playing, you know, two overtimes, you know, there is potential, because, you know, you do start to dehydrate and everything else, that you could tweak something. And I know we kind of thought maybe it was cramps, but I mean, now Rangers with a, listen, this is a really, really good opportunity for them going into game two.
Well, I think it's fair to say if you don't win this game tonight,
you're in one.
You're really, really in trouble. Really in trouble. And I will say this, as upset as I was yesterday morning and Tuesday late night after that game, this is a team that every time they've had to respond this season has responded. Like, they never once went on a prolonged losing streak. When there was a game they had to win or needed to win, they did. So, as upset as I think Rangers fans were after game one, I think you have to have the ultimate confidence in this team, because they've proven to you that they're a pretty resilient bunch.
Yeah, and I think they proved that to you in game one, too. I mean, especially your goalie. I mean, I went over some of that game yesterday, and, I mean, you know, what Shesterkin was able to do, I mean, was... It was like a masterclass in goaltending. But, I mean, again, depending on who you ask, as far as the Kaapo Kakko thing is concerned, I mean, Valley was on with the K-Show yesterday, and this is, again, another goalie who thought it was a goal. But, you know, after that great first period and, you know, a small portion of that second, I mean, Pittsburgh really carried the play. I mean, they dominated that second period, and still, you know, at the end of it, you're, what, 3.5 minutes left in the third period, and it looks like, you know, you just scored a goal to go up and potentially win the game. But, yeah, there were, for me, a lot of positives, some negatives, but there'll be definitely some things that needed to be corrected. But, I mean, this is, you said it. I mean, you got Louis Domingue in net, and as well as he played in, you know, in that emergency situation, this is a game that the Rangers have to win.
This is a third-string goalie. So you could say what you want. Louis Domingue played well, spicy chicken, all that kind of stuff, or spicy pork, whatever the hell he wound up eating. But, I mean, this is it. If you can't win this game tonight and put up a bunch of goals, I mean, a bunch of goals, then something is really wrong. And I think they will.
Well, that's the thing, though. When you carry the play the way that the Rangers carried the play in the first period, and they were physical, and they just smothered the Penguins, I mean, you have to find a way to get more, you know, to get more quality looks. And we talked about this, getting pucks in the net. I'm sure Panarin will be better. If anyone watched any of the hockey last night, like, you know, I've never seen the Tampa Bay Lightning look as bad as they looked in game one. And Kucherov, one of the best players in the league, being one of those guys, like, he looked like, I don't even know who I was watching. And then game two, he bounces back. So Panarin didn't have a great game one. I expect, with how good he is, that he'll come out here in game two and put his best foot forward.
Let me tell you, if they lose tonight, though, I'm going to be in one tomorrow. Like, you're going to have to, you know, the way you carry the open on Thursdays, you're going to have to carry the show.
Yeah, I can do it.
Yeah, no, I know you can.
But I think you'll be fine.
If the Rangers lose tonight?
No, I think you'll be fine. I think you'll be good. I'm not concerned about it.
No, I'm giving you heads up. I'm telling you, I won't be. It won't be okay. I will be miserable. If they lose tomorrow, I will be miserable.
Just to put this in a little context as far as Louis Domingue is concerned, mm-hmm. Louis Domingue has started three games.
Not the best.
Three games in the last two years.
He's been on... I heard Don saying yesterday he made like four starts at one point on four different teams.
He's been on Arizona, Tampa, Jersey, Vancouver, Calgary, and Pitt.
So he is the definition of a journeyman goaltender.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you're talking, what, that's six teams in 8 years?
Yeah, that's a lot of teams. But then, and listen, I don't think it happens, but then every once in a while you get these stories of like a guy who's a journeyman guy who's, you know, can't find his way. All of a sudden he's thrust into the game, and now he plays great.
Yeah, listen, I mean, you saw him after the game. I mean, doing his post game. Just how nonchalant he was for how big that moment was.
Right. Yeah.
But it is different. I will say it is different. Like when you get just thrown in like that and you haven't prepared and everything else, you kind of just go in and you just play. And that's usually when you get your best results, honestly. In all honesty, that's usually when you get your best results. So now he's had, you know, he's had a day to think about it, how now he's going to be the guy who starts this game.
And then you wonder about how long he's going to start. Like, is he now going to be the guy for a bit in this series?
Well, I mean, it was Tristan Jarry, once he's back, will be the guy. And he was ruled out of games one and two. So we'll see how much longer he's out. Because, again, let's not forget, I mean, this is the backup to the bat. This is the third string goalie for Pittsburgh.
I know. I wouldn't even know who this would be for the Rangers. I guess, this would be Kincaid, I guess?
No, your boy.
Is it Huska?
Yep.
Oh. How do you say that name, by the way? Is it Huska?
Huska.
Could you imagine that?
No, the Rangers need the Rangers.
Could you imagine if Huska started the game tonight? That's what they're doing in Pittsburgh. They're starting their Huska.
Well, Pittsburgh, look what happened. I mean, Carolina, same thing. Carolina's good, man. Ooh.
Very good. Yeah. Very good. How many ex-Rangers do they have on that team?
A lot. Quite a few.
Like seven?
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot. But that's a good team, and that's a team that's playing with their they played with their third string goalie yesterday.
Yeah, and they win that game and they go up 2-0 on Boston. So quite a bit to do today. Observations and did it happen in Florida at 6:45. We discussed it yesterday. Will we be pickling today?
I would love to pickle if you want.
I'd like to pickle. I would absolutely love to pickle. So we can pickle and we have time. Yesterday it would have been a stretch. There was so much Rangers to get into, but today is more free flowing. What time does pickling work for you? 7 o'clock hour?
Yeah, 7:15 pickle maybe.
7:15 pickle. We could 7:30 pickle. It's like I don't want to determine when we pickle. We can have a meeting during a commercial break and we can decide. But maybe 7:15 would be.
Well,
nice.
Isn't that the beauty of the pickle though? You never know what's going to happen. It could be Ronald Acuna, and for some reason we forget how to actually execute a rundown.
Oh my God!
If you will,
yes. If you will, would be correct. So pickle at some point in the 7 o'clock hour. Yankees, there's no way there's a Yankees fan that's upset today, right? I can't imagine.
I can't imagine, unless you're just one of those people that just enjoys complaining about everything.
Right.
I mean, the only thing you can say is they had a couple opportunities. I mean, they missed a couple opportunities. I mean, you're talking about going into the ninth inning, they were 0-for-10 with runners on base.
Yeah, they did, but you didn't even have... You know what the amazing thing about that game to me? We'll get to the Mets as well, and Ben Simmons is going to have back surgery. So a lot of little stuff for us today. The amazing thing about that last night is Cortez I didn't even think was good.
No.
Like, he was serviceable, and you still only allowed 2 runs to Toronto.
Well, that's what... Again, I mean, if that's going to be Nestor Cortez, where, I mean, he was struggling. He was grinding. You know what I mean? Like, when was the last time you saw Nestor Cortez walk four guys?
It's been a while. Yeah, it's been a while.
So he was struggling with his control, but still he grinds it out, gives you four, right? You know, 4 innings of 2-run ball, and then, I mean, Michael King comes out of the bullpen, and it's just lights out. He retires all 9 he faces. And then 6th inning, you had the Higashioka leadoff double, which you wasted with the top of the lineup coming up. And then the 7th, yeah, 1st and 2nd with 1 out. You wasted that. And then, yeah, I mean, you end up loading the bases there in the 9th.
Right. And Chapman tried to throw it away, but Guerrero with the good play.
Nice, really nice play.
Really nice play.
Oh, by the way, do I have a nugget for you? So I'm watching
I get it now?
I'll give you the nugget right now because we got time. So I'm watching the post game, and I actually have this in bold in my notes, is that no one gets screwed by low strikes that are clearly not strikes.
Let me tell you what you're going to say. More than Aaron Judge. Uh-huh.
So I write this down as the game is going on, and then I got your boy Rucco and Jack Curry afterwards. So Curry gives the stat. Since 2017, Aaron Judge has had 366 strike calls that weren't strikes on low
That's
pitches.
That's a big number.
Second is Goldschmidt with 279.
Wow.
That's humongous disparity.
Well, here's the thing, and you know why, because he's an enormous guy.
No, I know, but everyone knows that he's an enormous guy.
I know, so I think, but my point is, I think, and I'm not making excuses, I think it's really, really hard to call his strike zone. He's just that big.
Well, just call, yeah, but I know what you're saying, but just call his strike zone. Like, don't just call like, you have your strike zone. Well, the guy's 6'7". It's got to be different for him.
Yes. His knees are in a different spot than other knees.
Exactly right. Like, the pitch at his shin is not a strike.
Correct.
But that's a staggering number, though.
Well,
man.
I'll tell you what. When we go to robotic umpires, he's gonna benefit a lot.
Yeah, he'll be one of the guys for sure. Because, I mean, you know how this is. I mean, you watch your kids play baseball. It's just how quickly a bad call like that can completely change an at bat.
Oh, I mean, what you don't realize, and you realize when you start watching baseball, like at the youth level and tons of it, is, and you know this, like a 2-1 count as opposed to a 1-2 count changes the entire at-bat.
Well, not only that, how about a 2-0 count as opposed to a 1-1 count, you know what I mean?
Totally changed.
Totally different.
Totally, totally different.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
I can't even tell you the last time I used shaving cream to shave my face.
Well, firstly, we're right off on the heels of that read. I don't think you should say that. Secondly, why do you not use shaving cream? What do you use?
I just use a buzzer.
Oh. See, then you don't have a real beard.
What do you mean I don't have a real beard?
If you can just use the buzzer, then you don't have a real beard.
No, like not the but not like a buzzer.
Like a Norelco shaver is what
you're saying. No, not a shaver, a buzzer. Not the shaver, the actual buzzer.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Like when you go get your hair cut, you know they have the buzzer to cut your hair and they put the clip on it?
Yeah.
So you take the clip off of one of those and I buzz my face with that.
So you use the clippers without the clippers.
Okay, whatever you want to call it, yeah.
Yeah, but that's my point. If you don't use a straight edge, then you don't have a real beard.
Oh, you've seen my beard.
Yeah. Well, it's nice. But
what?
It's a nice looking beard. I just don't think it's as manly as other beards.
Well, where would you, okay, so let's just say that you have the most manly beard. I mean, I have to be above Don, though.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Well, it actually looks like Don has pasted that thing on. Does it not? Am I wrong? I say that, you laugh. Do you not feel like maybe Don has taken some kind of a... You remember when Cliff Clavin, I don't know if you remember this, on Cheers, they did a beard growing contest, and he showed up, and they're like, well, that's a beautiful beard. They tried to pull it, and they're like, we can't even take it off. Clearly, you win. And then after, he's like, yeah, I use this crazy adhesive. I don't know how to get this off. I feel like that's what Don has done.
I like Don with the goatee.
Yes.
I think the goatee is the look.
I agree. Don with the goatee is a much, much better look than Don with the beard. All right. So let's get into this Ben Simmons story. For everyone that said, you know, maybe it's not legit, maybe there's some fake back issues, whatever, at least I guess there's something in there.
No, don't start that. No, I mean, everyone knew. I mean, it's something that he's dealt with in the past. Like, everyone knew that he had a herniated disc. It's the reason why he got the epidural.
Now we need surgery.
Okay, but he was always going to need surgery, though. That was the point. And I think that's why they were surprised that he didn't play. Like, listen, we know, like, that, you know, worst case scenario is, you know, you try, you can't do it, and we address it with surgery. But we're going to address it with surgery because we can't have this happen again. So go play, see it, you know, see how bad it is.
You're not going to do any irreparable damage. Nothing terrible is going to happen.
Yeah, like, we're going to fix it anyway. We'll take care of it. Just let's see if he can get out there and help us.
So I guess he's going to undergo the surgery. I think I saw today.
Thursday, yeah.
Yeah, and then 3 to 4 months. So what are we? We're talking all of May, June, July, August. So, I mean, your guess is as good as mine when we see him in a Nets uniform.
Well, it's got to be to start the season. What do you mean if and when? By that time, he should be ready to go.
Oh, I think I have real reservations that he ever plays for Brooklyn.
Wow. I mean, if that's the case, and I know things don't look, I mean, they currently don't look great in Philly, but, so what are you saying? That he's just not going to play and they're going to pay him or they're going to trade him?
I think he's going to be traded. I have one for you. You want one?
I think you've given me this one before, but yeah.
I'll give it to you off the air. I'll give it to you on the air right now.
What, Utah?
Rudy Gobert for Ben Simmons.
So you're telling me I'm going to have Rudy Gobert and Evan Fournier in the same city?
Yes. But tell me that Rudy Gobert wouldn't be a nice fit on that Nets team.
Well, I think he would. But I also think, I mean, and you saw it in the series. I mean, Rudy Gobert is as good as he is, and in Utah they funnel everything to Rudy Gobert. I mean, he's like good luck Rudy Gobert trying to, you know, try to defend the corner three because he can't do it.
He cannot do it. That's correct. He's a you know, one-on-one defender under the rim, good rebounder, good shot blocker. But they don't even
doesn't
have that.
A great offensive game. Yeah, but you want to create space though too. Like offensively, Brooklyn wants to create space. Here's the thing though, and I thought this was funny when I read it, is that, you know, in the near future, Rudy Gobert is going to demand that either he's traded or Donovan Mitchell is traded.
Right. Who are you? You're Rudy
Gobert. Settle down, Rudy. Rudy, settle down. Settle. I think that's an easy decision for Utah.
Yeah. So, I mean, tell me, that's not an awful suggestion, though.
No, I don't think it's an awful suggestion. I don't.
Because I think from my money, I think Ben Simmons needs to go to a place where he's not going to be, like, they're going to love him. Right, whether you're great, whether you're awful, if you have moments like Utah to me feels very college town esque.
Where like, Oklahoma City,
we're not going to run you through the ringer here.
Like Oklahoma City would be great.
Yes.
Like if they say like if the paper prints something nasty, they immediately take
right,
it back
yeah,
and
retract
apologize.
That. Yes, burn all those papers and retract that.
Yeah, man. I mean, that for me is the biggest hurdle for him. Is the whole mental aspect of this thing. So, I mean, if he can get the back straightened out, which the surgery will do, and then the physical therapy and everything else, now the last part of that is...
And it's not major surgery, right? I've actually had two microdiscectomies. It's really not a major surgery.
I mean, you were doing the show from bed the next day, right?
Not that quickly, but I was doing the show within a couple days, yeah.
Yeah, but I'm saying you could have. You're all drugged up. Like, we don't want you on the air saying crazy stuff.
Right. But, I mean, like, you're up and walking. That's when I had to have the catheter inserted after that surgery.
I said no to that. They tried to get one of those of me. They gave me like the let's check your pressure in your bladder. I said no, we're not doing this.
But they were concerned about my bladder exploding. I had no choice.
Yeah, but that's what happened. Yeah, unless you can pee.
Yeah, they would. I was supposed to leave. They're like, you can't leave the hospital till you pee. And I was on the toilet. I was like, I can't pee. I can't. And they're like, then you can't go.
Oh,
you can't leave. And then like hours later, they're like, all right, did you pee? I'm like, no, they're like, keep drinking water. It's filling up. Finally, they're like, all right, we need to put the catheter in. Catheter, way worse than the surgery.
Oh, my goodness.
It pains
I can't
you.
Even.
Oh, terrible.
I was listening to Howard Stern one. This was a while back. And I guess Johnny Knoxville tried to do a stunt where he did a backflip on a bicycle, like a BMX bike. He tried to do a backflip.
Uh-huh.
And obviously he didn't. I mean, he has no business trying to backflip. And he ended up destroying his area. Like, to the point where he had to give himself.
Like, he crushed it?
Okay, he did something to it where they were afraid, like, that if he broke it, that the scar tissue could develop. So he had to, like, each day give himself a catheter.
What?
Yes.
He had to self-catheterize?
Yes, to make sure that there was no scar tissue that built up. I was like, oh, my goodness, man. I don't know if I could ever do something like that.
So do you think it's crazy to make a statement that I never think we'll see Ben Simmons play with the Nets?
I don't think it's crazy.
So you think we'll see him play with Brooklyn?
I think that's best case scenario for Brooklyn if he can actually figure this whole mental thing out in play. I mean, let's not forget, like, let's go back. I know there's some we haven't seen him play in a while. Last time we saw him play, it wasn't a great look. But, I mean, the guy is one of the best defensive players in the league.
I almost can't even remember at this point.
Well, I know he can't shoot, but he can handle the ball. He makes, he's a good playmaker.
Very good.
He gets out in transition. So there's a lot of positives. Like, there's a lot of, a lot of things he does. And you would imagine, like, I mean, being the third option, that eliminates a lot of the pressure. But I understand. I mean, it's a team that's expected. I mean, if this team doesn't find a way to win a championship here, it's going to be a failure, this whole experiment.
He eliminates a lot of the pressure, and there is also a ton of pressure on this Brooklyn team. A ton.
Yeah, so maybe for him, like, out of sight, out of mind is probably better just for his mentals. But
they just failed tremendously this season.
They just got swept. They're the only team that got swept.
Yeah, right. They just failed tremendously.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
If it wasn't that good, we wouldn't do it. But it's that good. So again, all you do, and it's so simple, like a moron could use this thing appropriately. You go to the App Store, you type in ESPN New York, it pops right up. you download it, you open it, you play it. Now you get the benefits. You take us everywhere on the ESPN New York app. Get all your favorite 98.7 ESPN radio shows, all the play-by-play streaming live. So you get the Rangers live wherever you go tonight on the all-new ESPN New York app, available right now on the App Store and Google Play. 1-800-919-3776. I'm sure you don't like it because you don't like looking towards next year's draft, but you know what drops right at 7 o'clock today?
It's gotta be next year's mock draft.
That's right. Todd McShay has next year's mock draft dropping at 7 o'clock this morning.
I give them tons of credit because I mean, if they asked me to do a mock draft period, let alone three or four leading up to the draft,
you didn't want to do a mock draft the day of the draft.
Well, I did, and I won, but I mean, that's besides the point.
Oh, by the way,
what?
The gift basket, Ray, was it great?
He hasn't decided whether or not he wants the gift basket yet, you jerk.
All right, Ray, can you decide?
I thought we established that I would go with the option that Rick presented of.
He wants the cash.
Yeah.
I don't understand. I don't understand how this happens. The bet was if you lose, you have to send him a gift basket. Now, all of a sudden, you're both adjusting this thing on the fly?
He doesn't want. It's the same value, no?
Yeah, exactly right. He doesn't want the gift basket.
This is more useful.
He doesn't want.
He does not want to eat
luxury
candy. He's trying to get himself back in shape.
We have established that now that I'm working less at night, I'm still working with the Rangers, but I've got to stop eating terrible food, and I've got to get back on track, and it's probably a better use of Rick's resources to send me something else. He
like
offered
money.
Cash,
so
and
you,
I'll take
you,
it.
You just want cash.
Listen, that wasn't my suggestion. That was his.
Well, I think it's a nice suggestion.
The only way that I find this bet to be satisfied is if you send him a basket wrapped in cellophane with cash in it.
No.
And then at least he's received the gift basket.
Well, listen, I'm not going to ask him to put cash in the mail. That's not going to happen. But he can put whatever the gift is. If it's
I'm
in the basket, it qualifies.
I'm already sending suspicious amounts of whipped cream to to Mel. And now all of a sudden I'm going to go in.
You get wiretaps going.
Yeah, exactly right. What's in the box? Oh, it's a basket of cash.
Yeah, the narcs are going to be knocking at Rick's door soon.
How much cash are you going to send the guy?
I don't know. I'll think about it. I mean, he knows how important he is to me. We'll see.
Wow.
And did you like the open this morning?
Did I?
Yeah, did you like it?
Loved it.
All right, that's 65% Raymond Santiago's work.
You said he didn't remember it was Thursday when you...
Well, that's fine. Yeah, once I reminded him, he was boom.
Ray, what day did you think today was?
I didn't think that any day was any day. I thought it was, all right, we're here for work.
You didn't think it was any day.
I'm here for work. I had the both positions in queue so I could hear both of you. Fortunately, when Rick says hello, I was there. Like, he said, hey, what's up, kid? And then I was like, oh, yeah, it's Thursday. We have to do an open. Uh-huh. And we moved on. That was all.
All right, good.
It really doesn't matter what he does for the rest of the week. The one text message he had in the group text chain was his greatest work ever.
Who?
Santiago had the greatest,
his greatest
work ever in the history of the text chain.
It can't be repeated on air, but
I'd have to go back.
It was terrific.
It was that good?
Oh, it was terrific.
All right. Joe Shane, tell me you don't like the sound of this guy.
Of course I do.
You can't say that.
I can't. Why would I say it? I'd be lying if I said it.
He sounds exactly like what the Giants need and have needed.
Like someone
competent? Yes. Someone competent and capable.
Joe Skihoang.
And by the way, and this doesn't. I need. This is like a never forget kind of situation. Clearly, the best cornerback on this team is James Bradbury. Yes.
Yeah.
They're not going to be able to keep him because they have no money to keep him, and they don't want to, put money down the road so that they're in financial turmoil in the future yet again. So you can thank Dave Gettleman for that. It's like a parting gift. When you have to release James Bradbury later this week.
He's the gift that keeps on giving.
Oh, it is brutal. I mean, I don't even think you realize it. I heard Donnie say it yesterday. Like, Maccagnan was awful, but didn't leave the Jets in this kind of financial turmoil that the Gettleman left the Giants in. Awful.
No, I mean, listen, I mean, usually when you're in the kind of, cap hell the Giants were in, you're actually a good team. Or you have won something.
Right, like this is what the Rams should do.
Yeah, well, I mean, at the very least, you're a team that's gone all in, and listen, maybe you won a Super Bowl, maybe you didn't, but you're in the AFC Championship game or the NFC Championship game. playoffs maybe would be nice. Not have the worst. I mean, not have the worst record in the NFL over the last 5 years.
Yeah, that's how inept he was. Like I don't think we discussed it enough how inept this guy was.
No, he was bad, and I don't think he was given much help from ownership either. When and how he took the job.
You say that, but the free agency sign was awful. Awful.
No, I know, but here's my point though. Like if Ben McAdoo was beating the drum for Patrick Mahomes because he felt like Eli was just about done.
Right.
And then all of a sudden Gettleman gets the job because he knows how the Giants like to do business, and with the second overall pick we're gonna take Saquon Barkley because we want to go one more time with Eli Manning. I mean, that's a problem. That's where it starts.
Fair, but you didn't have to take Barkley. Like, there's no way the Giants ownership said you have to take the running back.
Well, I don't know, because he fits, and again, this is why I think people have a hard time, you know, listening when someone says, you know, taking Saquon with the second overall pick was a bad pick, because he's such a good guy. Like, he's everything you would want. Just not with the second overall pick.
Except you don't want a running back second. And let's be fair. It's been years since he's been a really good player.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, again, like, awesome guy, tons of talent. But, I mean, your biggest fear with taking a running back with a pick like that is it's just the wear and tear of the position. Like, how long will he, you know, how long will he last? And unfortunately for Saquon, it's like, I mean, the guy just, it's every single year he gets hurt.
Every year.
He hasn't been able to stay healthy.
No, he's been here, 4 years, and three of the four he's gotten hurt?
Well, yeah, and one of those being a major
Play at all. Last year was recovery. The year before, he was hurt nonstop, and his rookie year, he was sensational.
So that's the thing, though, man. I mean, how many – and what happens is when you draft a running back with that high of a pick is all of a sudden, you know, the running back is good, and then – you know, you feel like, I mean, you have no choice but to sign up to this long term, you know, to
look
a long
term. Cowboys with Elliott.
Well, Cowboys with Elliott. I mean, McCaffrey in Carolina. This is what happens.
The only one that feels like it's played out well for the team is Derrick Henry.
Derrick Henry.
Right.
And he got hurt last year.
Let's take a listen to a little Joe Shane before we jump into Nobservations. Is there enough talent here to assess Daniel Jones?
Yes, I think so. And that was the goal. There have been, when I came in, injuries were something that we were looking at, you know, trying to find the why, you know, the past couple of years that there have been a lot of injuries. So it wasn't just, hey, let's get, you know, really good starting five offensive line. It's like, hey, we need to create some depth and competition as well. So between that, Kadarius missed some games last year. You know, he was injured. You know, Shep's coming off an Achilles. You know, Slayton's going into the final year of a deal. He's a UFA. You know, then Galladay obviously just signed his deal last year. So, you know, you got to look big picture and down the line, too, of, you know, who's going to be available and what's the roster going to look like, you know, a couple years from now. So I do think there's some weapons. Again, we were a little bit handcuffed in free agency in terms of what we could do financially. So this was our opportunity to continue to add, you know, frontline players along with depth players. So, you know, Saquon, another year off of the injury, you know, a few tight ends. So I do think there's some weapons there, you know, where we can definitely be competitive.
It was funny. I heard him talking about Wandale Robinson. They said, you know, it feels kind of redundant to Kadarius Toney. He said, maybe so, but he got 100 catches last year, and he's a tremendous weapon, and you can never have too many of those guys.
Well, no, I don't think it's – listen, I don't think the questions about Wandale Robinson had to do with him as a player. Right? I mean, he's got the production. I mean, if you didn't know who he was, then, you know, once they drafted him, you watched this, you know, some of the stuff he's capable of doing. I mean, he's an exciting player to watch. I just think when you looked at what went after him, and for me, Trey McBride was, I know that's a guy you liked a lot, and that was a position in need for you, was tight end.
Well, I don't know if he's going to be Trey McBride, but they took the kid from San Diego State they really like.
No, I understand that. But, I mean, what I'm saying is that the players that went after Wandale Robinson, when you already have Kadarius Toney.
Yes.
Seemed like potentially
Sky
better fits.
Moore, right?
Yeah, the guys like that. The kid Pierce, there were some names there.
Yeah. So, listen, you will look at Wandale Robinson, and you will look at the guys that went after him, and you will compare and contrast.
Well, here's the other thing, though. The fun exercise to do. Okay, but here's the other thing, though. Remember, and I think you mentioned this at the time, is that Kadarius Toney is not Joe Shane's guy or Brian Daboll's guy. So,
nope.
If you like the skill set, now you've had a chance, because it seems like, which I really like, is that any of these prospects that they were interested in, they actually, you know, spent a lot of time getting to know the guys, having dinner and everything else, that, okay, this is my kind of guy. So if things don't work out with Kadarius Toney, and we have to move on from him because we didn't draft him, and maybe we just don't, you know, we don't necessarily like everything that comes along with Kadarius Toney, that we feel good moving him because we got Wandale Robinson that will fill that spot.
That is correct. And again, I don't know what Kenny Golladay is going to be, but you look at the Giants' weapon. The offensive line is clearly better. I don't know what it's going to be. I don't know if it's going to be, you know, 100% fixed. I hope so, but it's clearly better. Right, they have 9 new pieces. You have a right tackle. Did you see what Saquon said about Evan Neal the other day? Did you see that?
I didn't see it, but I'm sure it's some kind of glowing endorsement.
I guess they had him in, and I guess Saquon didn't know who he was. Like he walked into the locker room and he was in, and I guess I don't know what he was wearing, but I guess he saw just the massiveness of Evan Neal, and he's like, "Who is that?" And they said that's Evan Neal. He's like, "Get me that!" Like he's just a physical enormity. So you add him at right tackle, but you look at the weapons the Giants have. Golladay has to be better, right? Shepard is now back. The offensive line.
I mean, Shepard's coming off an Achilles too now.
Well, the expectation is he's going to be
healthy. And you didn't jump down Joe Shane's throat when he called him Shep.
I didn't hear. He said that in that soundbite we just played?
Yeah, Shep.
Well, Shep is shortening. What's the difference? Well, because you're expanding. The whole point is you're trying to make it shorter and easier to say.
No, you're trying to personalize it. It's my guy. That's Kinger.
You know what makes it personal? Saying the name makes it personal.
No.
If I say the guy that came in the seventh inning, that's not personal. Once you establish the name, now it's personal. I don't need some cute nickname with every player on my roster.
Every guy in the locker room has a nickname.
That's in the locker room. That's fine.
I love this Evan Neal kid, too, by the way. Just found out his birthday, same day as me. Love him.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
So you're one of those that if they share your birthday, you're a big fan?
No, not really. I like him. I think he's a good player.
He's going to be a good player.
And he's a physical specimen, man. I mean, at his size, first of all, he's 6'7". And then have you seen what he looks like without a shirt? Like as much as he weighs.
He's like 360.
Dude, 360. But you see how, I mean, you would never know he was, like, the way he carries the 360 is... You don't usually see it carried like that.
No, very rare. One more, and then we'll get... No, you know what? Why don't we hear more from Joe Shane in the 7 o'clock hour? Because I don't want RJ to have no time and then bring out some of the nasty things that he has under the hood over there. So
all
now,
these extra branches he has.
Now, you said it. I'm never messing with that guy again. Ever, ever, ever again. So now let's go to a little observation.
If you say something like this...
That's a clown question, bro.
Or like this...
My best advice to you...
Yeah.
Shut up.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it.
Those are the ramblings of what we refer to as a knob.
Yeah, let's go testy and then knob.
And these are Knobservations.
Brought to you by Jack Pocket. And we'll play some Joe Shane, Dave, a little bit. Just for you.
Thank you.
You're nervous, aren't you? I've scared you a little.
Well, I am nervous about what you might do overall. I'm not nervous about the Joe Shane audio, though.
Overall, no. No, never any. Well, I mean, who could I harm? Look at me. As you guys have noted, due to my size.
Yeah, but you can use words as weapons and just attack us verbally. That I find scary.
Yeah, you have information that I don't...
That part's true. That part's
true. You're like Tyrion Lannister. I could be on the toilet, then all of a sudden I'm dead.
It all happens that quickly.
See, another.
And I think you've killed a man.
No. I think you could kill a man.
I think I could, too.
That's troubling. We're going to move on. That was just a rhetorical me just asking the same question.
Oh, then yeah. No, I couldn't.
Okay. That's what I do. There you go. I drink, and I know things.
See, another subtle shot by Rick, but we're going to move on. So, you remember a couple of weeks ago when...
Yep.
You don't even know what I'm going
to
say.
Oh, but I do remember a couple weeks ago.
When Jerry Jones, who was in a car accident reportedly, I hope he's doing okay, so showed the teams some of their draft rankings.
Let me put it like this. We have both of them. This was printed 3 days ago below him. Both of those players are below him. Can you see that?
Don't show him that.
Oh, Jerry. You're so funny.
Some great media laughter. So the nice people at The Athletic, did you see this? They enlarged and enhanced the photo. You knew somebody would. And they got 34 of what appeared to be the top 39 names on their list. Did you see the first two names, Dave?
I heard it was the two that the Giants took in the draft.
That is exactly what happened. Kayvon and Mr. Evan Neal. And Joe Shane was on the K show. He was asked about it.
Will McClay is a good buddy of mine. You know, he's in charge of their personnel department over there in the draft and does a really good job. So I hope he was right.
Seems like a nice way of saying, yeah, my buddy Will, he deals with a lot over there.
Yeah, he's got a full plate with the Cowboys.
So you should feel good about that.
Such a joy rooting for this team sometimes.
Well, at least they're transparent, Raymond.
Very, very transparent.
We haven't touched on this yet, but I'm guessing you guys have thoughts. Ryan Tannehill, as I'm sure many have heard by now, a couple of days ago made news when he was asked about the team drafting Malik Willis, and he said this.
Texted Malik right after we drafted him as well. Wasn't informed of that beforehand. Same thing with AJ, right? The team's going to do the best thing they think is best interest of the team. And, you know, I have no problems with Malik. And we're competing against each other. We're, watching the same tape. We're doing the same drills. I don't think it's my job to mentor him. But, you know, if he learns from me along the way, then that's a great thing.
So before you react, I didn't know this before this week, but Ryan Tannehill also said that he had to get therapy after their loss to the Bengals in the playoffs, said he didn't sleep for weeks. He was in a dark place. Took him weeks to get out of that space and talking to a lot of people. But having said all of that, any problem with what Tannehill said?
Well, you go ahead. You start this.
Well, first of all, Tennessee has no respect for him at all. None. Like, didn't even pick up the phone to say, hey, by the way, just so you know, A.J. Brown, your best wide receiver. We're going to trade him, and then on top of that, we're going to take Malik Willis. Knowing that there's a potential out after this season with you, and then you're a free agent in 2 years, which would line up perfectly with a developmental quarterback. I can understand why he'd be frustrated with that, but as far as, like, you don't need to tell everybody that you're not going to be, you don't need to go out of your way to be Malik Willis's mentor. You go play, do what you do, and then the kid if he's smart, will pay attention and be a sponge when he's around you.
And Dave, I guess I'll transition, because I have a question about this too. What is the cutoff? When do you, if you're going to draft a guy, what is the cutoff of round where you need to let the incumbent know out of respect? You take a guy in the fifth round, you got to call that in?
No, I you know what? I think it's the magnitude of the player.
You do if you're Washington, apparently.
Right? Like Malik Willis there was conjecture he was going to go six.
Right.
So there's a thought.
There was a mock draft that had him going second.
Yeah, there was a real speculation that he was going to be an elite player, and I think there still is that some people think he's going to be a star in this league. So when you draft a guy that is clearly the heir apparent to the throne, I think maybe that phone call should be made, right? If you drafted, you know, some kid out of Colorado State in round five, nobody cares about that. But when the guy attends the draft, maybe you should make that phone call.
It would be nice.
Sounds like Ryan Tannehill. That's a guy that's actually fearful of getting his job taken. Because if you're not worried about it, then you're kind of like, it'd be nice to know. But
let me ask you a question, though, Santi. I'm not Santi. RJ, with where this team finished last year, if you're Tennessee, wouldn't you be thinking about trying to upgrade that position?
100%. Especially, the numbers without A.J. Brown last year. That's the one I'd be more annoyed about.
They were 11-2 with A.J. Brown. 11-2.
Yep. And he was awful. Awful in that playoff game.
Yeah, not great. So, Draymond Green caught an elbow from Xavier Tillman on Memphis, and Grizzlies fans were booing Draymond relentlessly. He responded to Grizzly fans, and I think we can all appreciate this.
You're going to boo somebody who get elbowed in the eye and face running on blood, you should get flipped off. So I'll take the fine, I'll go do an appearance and make up the money. But it felt really good to flip him off. You're going to boo someone that get elbowed in the eye and blood running down your face? I could have had a concussion or anything. So if they're going to be that nasty, I can be nasty too. And I'm assuming the cheers was because they know I'll get fined. Great, I make $25 million a year. I should be just fine.
I respect the honesty.
Goodness. I'll just have an appearance and make that money right up.
He's not lying.
That's what you guys do.
He's not lying. He's got, he signed a deal with TNT. Does his podcast.
Plus he makes $25 million.
Yeah. So, the $25,000 fine. I just don't like we're at a point now where it's just too much, man. Like, this is, like, between now because, you know, of the pandemic or the pandy, as some would call it, with the, you know, the Zoom interviews and everything else post-game, and it's like just everyone swearing in the post-game, and now you got guys flipping people off, and it's just...
You got to tell me, though. I bet there was a... you're a classy guy. You wouldn't do it. You're not as as crass maybe, I'm sure you wanted to give some fans the bird a couple times.
No, I would give them the verbal bird quite a bit, but that was usually when I was, like, if I was backing up, like, I would spar occasionally with fans, but
yeah, you could poop right on them.
See, I appreciate that. From it's a two way street with athletes. If you're going to sit that low, it's not a in a
no,
in a
but
vacuum.
But RJ, it's a bad look though, man.
Yeah,
like,
it is
and
a bad
I
look.
Get it. Like athletes, listen, you're your own person, right? So in the moment, you want to do it. It felt good, whatever.
Yeah.
But I mean, the fact of the matter is that kids watching the NBA, the NHL. Major League Baseball, they see all of this and they copy all of it.
Oh yeah,
like see, I see it every day coaching young kid, coaching new sports.
Yes,
they gave you the bird.
100%
well, no, but
right.
From what they wear to how they flip a bat to
everything.
Kids are obsessed. Like most kids are obsessed with all like the things that come along. Like for example, like last night the kid's pitching. Like he'll takes off his hat, wipes his head because he's sweating, then licks his fingers like they do. Like, they do all the same kind of, like, all the little idiosyncrasies that the Major League Baseball players do. They're all trying to copy them.
There's a kid on Ben's baseball team, and the umpire's like, that was a balk. And the dad's like, no, that was the Nestor Cortez hesitation move, is what he was just doing there.
Is the time of these games also, like, 3 hours?
That took a long time. I will say this. Kyrie Irving just responding because you're being berated, I have a major problem with that. Draymond Green was hurt. He has blood dripping down his face. And you're going to rag a guy for that? I don't know. I think that crosses a line more than just
hold on. Okay, but hold on. I mean, this is an accumulation of things that happened, too. Let's not forget what happened in game one, either, when he got the flagrant two and got kicked out. Right? I mean, that's part of it, too.
You're not wrong. I'm just saying, like the fans take it so far that now you're gonna applaud and be excited by injury. I think that goes way too far.
A man's naked behavior outside of his South Florida home, all caught on camera.
Caught on camera in Florida.
Did it happen in Florida?
That was a man in swim trunks who appeared to fall out of the sky.
Man was arrested for riding his bicycle on the front lawn of a Naples home and telling a woman inside he was an FBI agent.
What's the deal, man? Why are you naked?
Why are you naked? By the way, just on that the last story, did you see what Draymond did right after he got tossed, the flagrant two in game one? Podcast that night.
In his hotel room, yeah.
That night on the volume. That's how we are. That's how it is now.
We had a guy on our team that used to bring a mixing board on the road and like just like try to make his own music.
Really? His own music?
Did he get you fired up before games?
He was the same guy that were in the locker room for like a serious team meeting. And the coach was going around the room like asking guys to speak. And he pointed to this one guy and goes, what do you think? He goes, well, actually, funny you ask, coach. I was reading my horoscope this morning. And it said we were in for some good things today.
Nice.
Did good things happen?
No.
What I got in my fortune cookie, coach.
I love fortune cookies. All right. So we've all been in a situation, right, where you're following the GPS in the car. It doesn't make a ton of sense. Maybe not the shortest route, but you trust the system, right? You're just following along. So we have this 26-year-old woman who's in the situation. Doesn't quite make sense. You know, left here, right there. Where does she end up? She drives her SUV through a police pedestrian plaza and down a flight of stairs.
Oh, no.
In a parking garage.
Oh, no.
The pedestrian portion.
She trusts Waze like nobody's business.
Gets stuck in the stairwell because she thought it was a ramp. And the police officers come outside. And I think this will shock you. Find out she was under the influence and promptly arrest her. It's a short commute back to a police office. Nobody was hurt, I should notice. Or I should mention.
Nobody hurt.
So I ask you, did this happen in Florida?
That's
a lot of trust.
Stairs.
That right there is a lot of trust.
Right. See, it didn't say take this flight of stairs.
And she said that after in the questioning. You know, what are you thinking here? Well, this is where my GPS took me.
But it did tell me to go that way.
That's commitment.
That? Like you come up to a stairwell. You're like, see, I don't know if this is right, but it does say to go down the stairs.
According to the report, it said she thought it was a steep ramp. She could not see the decline.
Well, listen, Waze says that this is the quickest route.
Yeah, so who might argue with Waze? There also might be a Dunkin' Donuts down here. Oh, boy. You might get me here.
I wish I had that amount of trust in somebody that she has.
How dare you, Santiago? How dare you?
I'm going to say no, but It's like a 51-49 no. So right. don't follow me just to follow me here.
All right.
No, I'm not going to follow you down the flight of stairs, I'll tell you that. My initial feeling was not Florida. And because I've seen what you're doing here. This is one of your branches that you're going to try to trick us and embarrass us. I'll go with my gut, and I will say not Florida.
Okay, and Ray.
You know why I feel it's not Florida? Just because she ended up going downstairs, and I don't know if parking garages really go underground in Florida. So I'll say
the rationale behind that answer?
No, because I'm thinking about it. Like how often do things go underground? In Florida.
Well, why does it have to be underground?
Well, she went down the stairs.
What? Hey, Michelangelo. Well, yeah, but downstairs. But it can be an above ground.
Well, not in his mind.
Parking structure.
Not in his mind. By the way,
how does she go above ground?
RJ's gonna have palpitations in a second.
Well, if you're
Michelangelo.
Berate the poor guy.
I love Michelangelo.
My
he's the
favorite
best.
Ninja Turtle. Yeah.
Yeah, he's the best.
Dave, before he yells at me for being late on the clock, good job, Dave, trusting the 51. Not Florida, and I think this will shock you, Portland, Maine.
Oh.
Portland, Maine.
Yeah, not too far from here, but in the Northeast. That is
birth state.
What do you mean not too far from here?
In the Northeast, I said.
It's in the Northeast. It's a quick, like, eight-hour drive.
Yeah, it's only 8 hours away.
No big deal.
Raleigh, right around the corner.
Listen.
Just past Buffalo.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts. This is DPetro and Rothenberg.
Marino was shot. They score. The Penguins win it.
I'm anxious and a little nervous, but I feel ultimately confident about the Rangers tonight.
Well, I think you should.
Well, I'm not going to change a style of play, that's for sure.
Right? I mean, you had confidence going into the series that they would win it, so there's no reason to change that now.
I'm not going to make big adjustments. I'm just going to try and get to be more consistent with their game.
I still stand by it. I like the Rangers' chances to win the series.
This is DPetro and Rothenberg. On 98.7 ESPN. Let's get down
to business. All right, the big 7 o'clock hour. DPHR Rothenberg with you, presented as always by Progressive Insurance. Have we established that at 7:15 we're going to do a pickle? Is that locked in?
I trust you like that woman trusts her GPS. Like you say pickle at 7:15, I'm in.
I got a very nice tweet. A very, very nice tweet from Hinky Haynes.
He listens to every second of the show.
He loves the show. He says, that was some amazing restraint by Dave not joining in to absolutely destroy Ray for questioning above-ground stairwells. He's really committed to being nicer to Ray.
I mean, congratulations for doing the bare minimum. I appreciate you, but, you know.
You know what? You said something which was questionable. I defended you. One of the two of us went right after you.
Okay, but did I end up being right?
I don't know.
Your answer was correct. The logic behind the answer, it wasn't so sound, but the answer was correct, yeah.
Yeah, but that's like a blind squirrel.
Or a broken clock being right twice a day.
Exactly.
Listen, he got it right. That's all that matters, and he's figured out Price is right. Like, he's really developing into probably the smartest guy in the show, in my opinion.
Smartest guy in the show.
Listen, your sports knowledge, top-notch. I'm just saying all around.
All around brightness on the show, you would give it to Santiago.
Street smarts. I mean, you name it. This guy doesn't get any sleep.
Slept 12 hours yesterday.
Hey, that's one day.
Last time I slept 12 hours, tonight. I had COVID.
Yeah, and you let everyone know about it, Captain.
What do you want me to do? I had to take days off from work. I was sick.
I almost sent you a cape with a big C on the back of it.
Please. At least you got a gift bag. Oh, the Rick DiPietro special gift basket when you were sick.
You should have seen the delivery I got from Ben's.
I don't even want to know. They sent you food, too?
Oh, I got matzo ball soup.
You are unbelievable.
Pastrami on rye with some coleslaw and some Russian dressing on the side. You name it. It's gorgeous.
I don't want to have this conversation.
Got the pickles.
I don't want to have this conversation.
Well, don't ask that. I'm just letting you know.
I didn't ask. You're the one, you should see what they sent me. I'm sure they sent you beautiful stuff. Because you know why? They're scared of you.
Oh, no. They respect me and they love me.
No. It's not respect. It's fear. You're like Tony Soprano. They don't respect you. They're just terrified of you.
False.
Anything that you don't like, now you freak out. Nobody wants that to happen. They treat you like Shirley Temple was probably treated back in the day. you know what? We don't want a tantrum. Let's just placate Rick.
No, no. I say what you think, but you just you're chicken to say it. They fear RJ. We fear RJ. They respect me. I lead by love and respect.
No. And I want to get to the McShay way too early mock draft in a moment. No. But you're completely wrong. They respect RJ. They are terrified of you. Terrified.
Yeah, either way, though, I ended up with the edible arrangement and the cookies and the flowers.
I can't argue that.
And the Benz.
But they did check in on me like once or twice.
Oh, give me my little cookie.
I mean,
Dave,
what is
did
that?
You die? No? All right. Well, were you going to come back tomorrow?
I'll tell you right now, if the whole anytime minutes thing was an issue still, you wouldn't even have got a phone call.
I think you're probably right. All right. So McShay, before we get into the pickle. Now, I mentioned this the other day with Mel Kiper, and you can't ask him about this stuff. It's way too early. Yes. Hence the way too early 2023 NFL mock draft. Here we go. This is what Todd McShay has. Now, the order of the draft only goes in inverse of what Caesars Sportsbook has as far as their Super Bowl odds. So don't think like, oh, they think the Jets are going to be, you know, that's not what they think. That's solely based on the odds at Caesars. But the picks, very interesting. Right off the bat, Houston, 1, quarterback Ohio State, C.J. Stroud. 2, Detroit, quarterback Alabama, Bryce Young. Jets, 3, Will Anderson. Jaguars, the receiver from Ohio State, and we go on and on. Giants would pick 8. I guess his name is Levis, right? Can't be Will Levi, so it's got to be Will Levis, quarterback from Kentucky. And then the Seahawks, he has 9, Tyler Van Dyke, quarterback out of Miami. So that is the way too early mock draft from Todd McShay.
Yeah, see, this was the problem. You have the 5th and the 7th pick in a year where you don't have, look at the amount of quarterbacks he has going in the first round.
He, as far as I see, 4, right? 4 in the first 9.
4 in the first 9. So, I mean, next year is the year to have, if you're looking for a quarterback, to have the 2 first round picks.
So, is it fair to say, see, the Giants are in a weird position now. Because, obviously, you want to win games and you want to see competence from Jones and that Dable is capable and all that stuff. But, in some ways, like, would you rather, I know this is a weird question. Would you rather go 3-14 or 4-13 and just say, just talent-wise, you release Bradberry, you just don't have a ton of talent? Or would you rather go 7-10 where you wind up with the 8th or 9th or 10th pick, or 4-13 when you can nab one of these elite quarterbacks in this draft?
Well, what's the benefit of going 7-10? You don't make the playoffs. And,
correct.
I mean, does that solve the quarterback issue?
Not unless unless one of these guys that's the second tier quarterback slides to you and he winds up being a big time QB, but otherwise, no.
Okay, so I mean, if it doesn't solve it with the draft, and I mean, my question really was, does it solve you with Daniel Jones? Like, if I mean, does 7-10 does that give you? Does he play well?
I think
enough
it gives
in
me my answer
season?
that he's not the answer.
Okay, so I mean, if that's the case, then to answer your question, no, you'd want the highest pick possible.
So you would prefer to go 3-14 rather than go 7-10.
Well, listen, if you're of the mindset that you've seen enough of Daniel Jones to know he's not the guy moving forward, and the ceiling on your wins is going to be 7, which doesn't get you into the playoffs, yeah, I mean, that does me no good. None. I mean, maybe it gives me some hope that we have the right coach, but, I mean, it doesn't solve my biggest issue, which is I don't have a quarterback.
No, it really doesn't.
Listen, you're going to have a ton of money to spend next year, too, in free agency.
Yeah.
With your cap.
You are. And you got to figure the offensive line's going to be pretty good, right? Like, there are going to be pieces that are in place that if you bring in a quarterback who's going to be a big-time QB, all of a sudden, now you're cooking.
Yeah, now you're cooking. But, I mean, you're in a spot now because you didn't pick up Daniel Jones' fifth-year option is that, like, the last thing you would want to have happen is, like, he's good but not great, and now you win too many games where you don't really have a shot at the, you know, the best quarterbacks available.
But I kind of feel like that's what's going to happen. Because I don't think he's terrible, and the schedule is not all that awful. Like, if the Giants go 4-13, I would actually be surprised by that this season.
No, I would too. I mean, you mentioned the defensive line. We'll see what happens. I mean, how they end up, you know, replacing Bradberry and everything else. And if Daniel Jones and Saquon can stay healthy and Kenny Golladay, that's been part of the problem too. And when, you know, and when we talked to Mel, he mentioned that is like even before the season started last year, right? Like Saquon Barkley's coming back from the knee, so he wasn't really practicing. Golladay was hurt. Like the offensive line was bad. Like last minute, they're trying to add pieces to the offensive line. Like there was never any There was never any continuity going into the season. And it's just been, I mean, the offense has been just a disaster the last couple of years.
An absolute disaster. Just let me see it function somewhat normally this year.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.